Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Steve Parker.
Oh, does anybody love Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's excellent. Let's get our focus back on him. Praise God. Yeah. It's good preparing sometimes. Yeah, you know, kind of come here and spend the time with God, and it does you good when you're spending time with God. Okay. Right, bit of revision. Last week, Pastor Shane brought us a message. Proverbs 4:23 was his key verse. Okay, let's see how many of you got it. Guard your
heart.
Look at that. Above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Amazing. Right, so in Hebrew, the heart means your intellect, awareness, your mind, your inner person, inner feelings, deepest thoughts, as well as a physical heart that pumps the blood around your body and your inner yearnings. So yeah, we're going to be looking, if you like a title, Heart Soil. We're going to be looking at the parable of the sower, as it's often called in the Bible. So it's all the red letters, the words of Jesus. And we're in Matthew 13, verses 1 to 23. And it should be popping up on the screen any second now. And there it is. So, later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them around his field, some seeds fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. His disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people,'" the what's of these people? "'The hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. And they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear. And their hearts,'" their what's? "'Their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting the seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on the good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted." If you was from a CV church, you'd say, "This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
Very good. Right. So, here we go. Jesus was sat by the lake. Sounds nice, that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds nice. And the people came, so we taught from the boat. See, Jesus knew that sound reflects or deflects off of water so that people would be able to hear what he had to say a lot easier. Because Jesus wants people to hear what he has to say.
Yeah.
And that's still the truth today.
Yeah?
Jesus wants people to hear what he has to say. In fact, the Bible titles Jesus as the Word of God. It said he was the Word of God that was made flesh and that was sent to us. He wants us to listen and he wants us to understand. So a Jesus follower builds their life on what Jesus has taught, and that's a firm foundation, so the Bible tells us. You build your life on what Jesus has taught, it's going to be a firm foundation for your life, and your life is not going to come crashing down. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so Jesus, he clearly distinguished between hearing and listening. So many people heard what Jesus had to say, but by comparison, only a few listened. You know, you can hear the birds, can't you? Or you can listen to the birds. Yeah, there's a difference between the two. You're sitting there listening to the Tweety birds. Sharon likes to listen to the Tweety birds in the morning. It makes her feel peaceful. Yeah. Yeah, it's nice, isn't it, when you listen to the birds, when you listen to nature, unless there's a crow sitting on top of your roof. It's a little bit different then. But yeah, listening to the songbirds singing away, it does something good for you. Yeah. Even though they're saying, get off my turf, or I'm going to come over there and batter you. But, you know, just think of it as a song to God. All right. Pressing on. Anyway, have any of you parents ever said to your kids, how many times have I told you not to do that? Anybody ever said that? Anybody as kids ever heard that from their parents?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. So yeah, they heard what you said, but they weren't really listening. You know, turn the TV off, turn the TV off, turn the TV off, turn the TV off. You know, they can hear what you say, but they're not really listening because they don't want to hear it. All right. Right, so we teach from experience, don't we, as parents? You know, sometimes as a parent, you think you're pretty prophetic. You say, look, if you carry on, this is going to happen. And then it does. You think, man, I must be some kind of prophet. But no, really. You know, you're just teaching from experience, aren't you? Because you was a kid once yourself, weren't you? So you know what I mean? So you can see what's going to happen. And the kids, they just kind of, some of them just got to learn the hard way, haven't they, unfortunately. All right, as long as they learn, that's the good thing, isn't it? All right, we can learn a lot from elders if we're prepared to listen. You know, we're a funny society, aren't we? If we're a society that's heading for trouble, if we honour youth and just despise the experienced, we should be working together. The experienced with the youth, and then good times are going to be ahead for us. You know, we shouldn't discriminate against age or anything like that. You know, we're a people that needs to be together. And in unity. It seems to be a funny thing at the moment, you know, to discriminate against white middle-aged men. They seem to be the latest target. I don't know whether you've been hearing that in the news. Funny old thing. Yeah, it is. It is bad news, yeah. So it kind of makes you think, look, hang about a second. Plank eye, you know, take the plank out of your own eye. You're saying people are discriminating against you. And here's you discriminating. Stop being so silly. Okay, which brings me nicely to my next point. One thing that can stop you listening, either to the preached word or to the written word of God, you know, the Bible speaks. I don't know whether you've ever kind of heard a speaking Bible. Now I can't hear anything, but the Bible speaks. Yeah, you know, when you read the word of God, God can speak to you through the Bible. Now, he speaks to you through an inner voice. You know, Pastor Shane was talking about listening to what God has to say to you, that small, still voice of God that can come to you. And you can hear that when you're reading the Bible. So the Bible speaks, yeah, not audibly, not that I've experienced anyway, unless you put it on DVD or anyway, let's not go there. But God speaks through his word, and also you can listen to the preached word of God. We've got to make sure we don't discriminate when we're listening to the word of God, because if we do, we're not going to be able to listen properly. You might hear, but you won't listen. All right. So discrimination. In Jesus' day, in Israel, the guys who ran religion were called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Why were they called the Sadducees? Well, they were sad, you see. Oh. All right. Very good. They heard what Jesus said, but they didn't listen to him. Yeah?
Yeah.
They heard what he said, but they didn't listen to him. Because the Bible says they loved money and honor from men more than God. And Jesus wasn't going to be having any of that. And he still won't be having any of that. All right. See, Jesus didn't fit their mold. Jesus came along and he broke their showy religious ways. And they didn't really like that. Jesus, you're not going to be our friend. Stop doing what you're doing. But no, Jesus was God's truth and he spoke the truth. And it didn't matter what anybody said to him. He was going to speak the truth of God, no matter what was going to happen. Okay, so Jesus went to those who would listen, the scummy sinners, and they became yummy saints. From scummy to yummy. All right, because they were prepared to listen, yeah? They listened to the words that Jesus had to say. So what's the moral of the story for us? We can't afford to be picky about whether we prefer old school teaching, new school teaching, whatever style of teaching it may be. What we've got to do is be listening to what it is the Spirit of God is saying all of the time. You know, if someone's speaking the words of God, we've got to make sure we're listening without prejudice. Yeah, let's not be like Pharisees. Let's not be like Sadducees. Let's listen without prejudice to what it is the Spirit of God wants to say to us all the time. I'm sure it would never happen here, but when I was at a previous church, there were certain punters would come in and say, who's preaching tonight? And depending on who was preaching, they would either turn up or not. That's a bad heart condition. Yeah? That's bad soil to be sowing onto. Not good. Yet, sure, human nature says that we're going to relate to different speakers in different ways, depending on character, life experience, etc. But hey, we've always got to be listening to what it is the Spirit of God wants to get to us. You know, he's sowing seed into our lives all the time, and we've got to be open to what it is he wants to say to us, open to the seed that wants to come into our heart and produce a harvest from it. And hey, if anybody ever gets up to speak or teach in any way, any shape or form, not even Jesus got everyone to listen to him. So hey, don't sweat it, all right? Don't sweat it. Bottom line, discrimination can rob you of the seed that God wants to get to you. Okay. What else can damage your hearing or give you a spiritual heart disease? Let's have a look. Offense. The Bible talks about offense. In fact, it says that the people of Jesus' hometown of Nazareth, they took offense at Jesus. And the Bible clearly says that he was able only to do a few miracles there because they were offended at Jesus. They thought, Joseph and Mary's kid, Joe and Mary's kid, this is, it's like, who does he think he is? Coming to town with all this entourage with him. Well, who does he think he is? And they were offended at Jesus. And that robbed them. They robbed themselves because of the offense that they took. It robs people. Offense robs people of God's blessing. Now, the gospel, of course, it is an offensive message. You ever been offended by the gospel? You know, the basic gospel message is, look, you're a sinner and you need to change your life. It's quite offensive, isn't it, really? But, you know, you got to be prepared to be offended with the truth to find out that God's grace and his goodness can pour into your life. Right? Jesus is the only way to God, and all other ways are men's inventions. But the gospel is God's way. That's an offensive message in society today, isn't it? But it's the truth. And the truth is the only thing that is going to set you free. Notice the URC, United Reformed Church, have just voted almost unanimously, that's a big word, to marry homosexual couples. They've been listening to the wrong voice. You know, that's not what God has written within his word. Yes, God loves all people, but that's not what he's prepared marriage for. You know, and we've got to be prepared to speak the truth, because only the truth sets people free. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That's how exclusive it is. Yeah? Are you in or are you out? Straight choice. We've heard that somewhere before, haven't we? You're going to be in, you're going to be out. Okay. Your welcome into heaven is dependent on your answer to that question. It really is. Otherwise, we're saying that Jesus is a liar. And he's not. I've found him to be true. Yeah? All right. How can a believer be offended then? Well, maybe it's some stuff that God speaks through a person into your life. You're like, ooh, I find that offensive. That offends me, you know? We shouldn't be offended as Christians, of course. Because if you're in a place of offense, that means you haven't forgiven. Yeah? So we've got to make sure that we as a people don't get offended. Perhaps somebody's style may offend you. Don't let it, because it's going to rob you of the harvest that God wants to produce within your life. And don't be afraid of, there comes a time when we get confronted. We can get confronted with the Word of God even when we're reading it. We can get confronted with the Word of God when somebody preaches it. Don't let it offend you, okay? Just let it do its business within your life. Because God wants to bring a harvest out of your life. He's got loads of good stuff that he wants to get into you and then produce coming out of you. Yeah? Mm-hmm. What else can stop us listening? Well, preconception or preconceived ideas. I was recently on a job. I'm an electrician by trade. For those who don't know, I got a phone call. Leave your other jobs. My lights aren't working. You need to come sort it out now. Okay. Okay. Because everybody's job is the most important job in the world, isn't it? But now, it's fault-finding jobs. I don't like them. It's kind of like, where do you begin? Especially if you haven't wired the thing in the first place. And it's kind of... Anyway, I was in someone's loft amongst all the insulation. Nice. And I was jiggling some abominable cables around. There were some connections. And the lights came on. I thought, oh, this must be it. So fixed them all up, put them all nice and neat, took a nice picture. Came down, lights were still on. Oh, that must be it, must be it. Anyway, I left. Lo and behold, the lights went out again. I got a text at 11:30 that night. My lights are out. Oh, not coming now. But thankfully, it was a text message, not a phone call. But, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Of course, now it's my fault because I've been in the loft. Oh dear, I thought, this one calls for a contract. I'm going to have to do a contract, going to have to write a letter, because I could perceive this person wasn't really listening to what I was trying to say. I said, look, it could take a long time. Don't even know where to begin. Wrote the letter, did the contract, handed it as nice as I could to the customer. I said, I don't want to read any letters. I just want you to fix the lights. I says, yeah, but this is going to explain what I've got to do, and I need you to sign a contract, because not signing a contract. Don't want to read the letter. Just want you to fix the lights. I'm not going to win this one. You know when you're just not going to win some battles, don't you? I thought, not going to win this one. This person doesn't want to listen. This person doesn't want to listen. Their mind is already made up. They have a preconceived idea that the lights should be working. So, no ready, no fixy lights. Sorry, I've got to go. So, that's just the way it had to be. I didn't get paid for the job either. Never mind, enough of my problems. It could have all been so different. Could have all been so different if, they would have let us communicate, could have talked through it. And if the person had listened, the lights would be working. I'd be a little bit richer. And all would have been good. All would have been good. And what caused the listening to stop? It was worry. The person was stressed. They were worried about the lights. And that's all that they could see. It was the worry. It was the stress. And they couldn't get past it. Because worry is a thief. Did you know that? It robs you. It robs you of your joy. It robs you of your peace. And Jesus tells us it robs us of the seed that he wants to put into our lives. You know, there could have been a harvest in people's lives, but the worries of this life choked the seed that was sown into people's hearts. The seed's good. The message is good. But it was the condition of the heart that was the problem for those where the weeds and the thorns had choked out the harvest that God had prepared for the people to hear. So the scriptures told us anyway. And yet Jesus told us, be anxious for nothing. That's a hard one to live up to, that, isn't it?
Yeah?
So it's a good aim, though. You know, we've got to aim for that. We've got to aim high. Aim high. Be anxious for nothing. We know that life brings its troubles. It brings its problems. But yeah, you know, we need to cast those cares upon the Lord because he cares for us. You know that God cares for you, don't you? He really, really does care for you. He doesn't want us to be worried. He doesn't want us to be anxious. And it can stop a harvest within our lives, especially the things that the world tends to worry about. It can give you a divided heart. If your heart is set on, I must have a career, I must have lots of money, or I must have a certain relationship, it gives you a divided heart. First of all, above everything else, we've got to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and yes, love our neighbor as we love ourselves, yeah? But God has got to be the main focus of our lives, so our heart is undivided and we can be fruitful people. So yeah, how do we put God first? What does that look like? We heard a little bit about it last week. Spending time with God in prayer, giving to God, reading his word, and of course, doing what it says, yeah? It's promised to us. If you do, you're going to find life and life in all of its fullness. Yeah, a full life. That sounds good, yeah. Doesn't it? A full life, not a half-empty life. A full life. Anybody up for that?
Yeah.
Ultimately, if you live your life in God's hand, everything is going to end up okay. Yeah? Right. He's a shepherd, and he's a good shepherd. You know, he didn't come here just to fix us, you know. He came here to lead us and to guide us. That's what a shepherd does. You know, in Israel, they didn't used to drive the sheep with a dog. They used to lead the sheep. They'd follow the shepherd. You know, and that's the way that we got to see our life. Being led and guided by the Lord, the good shepherd. Not a bad shepherd, a good shepherd. All right, when we listen to the shepherd, he promises that he's going to give us more understanding and an abundance of knowledge. Those were the people who listened. That was the promise that he gave in the parable that we read. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Conversely, if you won't listen, your understanding is taken away. That's scary, isn't it?
Mm.
Anybody ever seen that happen? Sad fact. Sad fact that it does actually happen. If people stop listening, their understanding gets taken away, and you think, well, how can you do that when you think of the way they've been fruitful in the past, and yet they've stopped listening, and then the rest of the understanding seems to go away as well. It's a sad thing. That's why we need to guard our heart above everything else, otherwise the devil can come and steal the seed that God has placed there. Like I say, it's a good seed. He's a good sower. But we've got to watch the state of our hearts. Yeah. The worries that look like a mountain to us are a molehill from God's perspective. Yeah. Right. So the question to us, where are we at? For starters, we got blessed eyes because of what we've seen. We've seen Jesus. Anyone who's a believer in Jesus here, he's changed your life. Your eyes are blessed because you've seen what God wants you to see. Your ears are blessed because you've heard what God wants you to hear. That's in verse 16, that one. All right. We know who Jesus is. Jesus wants us to have a good heart. Okay? Good soil to produce good fruit. And if you have that, you're going to get more understanding and more knowledge. And that leads to good things coming from your life as we put it into practice. So we need to examine our heart's soil, and that requires honesty, of course. You know, sometimes it's good to be honest with ourselves, give ourselves a talking to. And as I was kind of looking through this, I felt as though God was saying, look, it's no good trying to rebuke the fowls of the air that come to steal the seed. You know, if you've got hard soil, the seed's not going to grow there. You know, you'd have to do it 24/7, wouldn't you? Be standing there scaring the birds off all the time. You need to change the soil. Yeah? You need to change the soil. You need to dig it up. Fertilize it. Make it soft. Water it. God's Spirit. Water it with God's Word. You need to get the hard ground soft. Otherwise, that seed is going to be stolen away. So, yeah, deal with the soil. Don't worry about the enemy. It's like somebody, like Pastor Colin said, the devil's not your worst enemy. You are. Yeah. It's true. Shallow soil. Well, that takes transformation, doesn't it? But God can give you a heart of flesh for a heart of stone. The Bible tells us that in Ezekiel 36:26. Dig up your worry weeds. No more choking out God's harvest within your life, yeah? Let's give those worries over to God. And every time they come in, give them to God. Every time they come in, and they're going to come, give them to God. Give him your anxious thoughts because he cares for you. Okay, let's close our eyes. Let's have a bit of meditation, shall we? That's good. Try not to go to sleep. Close your eyes. Honesty. Maybe you could say, you know, if there's something that you feel as though God has said, maybe you're in within that bracket, you know. Lord, forgive me for when, you know, I've wanted your word to say what I want, or I've wanted your word to be preached the way I like it. Make me pliable to how the seed is sown into my life, and give me a heart that listens. I don't want to discriminate anymore. And maybe you might say, God, forgive me for when I've taken offense about style, or I've taken offense at the things that were said to me, and it made me offended. Remove all traces of Pharisee, Sadducee, can't see and won't see. Let me hear with listening ears so that I can be someone that can produce more and more fruit for you. And God, forgive preconceptions and any worries I have for this life. Forgive if I've placed anything in my life and made it more important than you. Thank you, God, that as I put you first and trust in you, you're going to work all things for my good, because you're my good shepherd. And thank you, God, that you want me to be producing 30, 60, 100 times what has been sown, so that I and others can benefit from a fruitful life. Because that's God's will for you guys, is that your life is fruitful and bears much fruit for the kingdom of God. Okay, we're just going to keep our eyes closed. If you feel as though God has pointed out anything within what I've said, and you feel as though you want to kind of just tweak a few things, get a few things straight with God, I just want to include you in a prayer. I'm not going to call people out or anything like that, or ask even specifically what it was. But if you'd like that, just to seal what God has done, or what God has been saying to you, or what you feel as though you've spoken out to God, and you want me to include you in a prayer, just give me a wave, and I'll see you, ask you, put your hand down, and then I'll just say a prayer, because confession is good for the soul. It helps soften the soil of our heart so that we can respond to God, and that he can be fruitful within our lives. So if there is anybody who'd like me to include them in a prayer, like I say, no names or anything like that, just give us a wave. Okay, that's great. Bless you, guys. Bless you. Yeah, Heavenly Father, I want to pray, Lord God, for those who've responded, and for the rest of us as well, Lord God, where there are things in our life, Lord God, where you point things out to us, Lord, that we need to put straight so that, God, your love can flow more freely into us, your word can have a greater harvest within our lives. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to meet us, Lord. Whenever we come to you, Lord, you've promised that you're going to meet us where we need you to. So, Lord, I want to thank you, for, guys who've been honest with you this morning. And I want to pray, Lord, you're going to bless them greatly, Lord. I pray, Lord, they're going to know that their Heavenly Father is making all things good for them. Thank you, Lord God, for all those worries that can be cast upon you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for all those wrong attitudes that can be put right, Lord God, so that we can live in a greater relationship with our loving Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray that you're going to continue to speak to us again and again, and our hearts are going to be that good soil that is going to produce a big harvest for you. And that, God, this place is going to be filled, Lord God, with people that are also coming to know you, because your word is going out and bringing a harvest of souls in for your kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. You're the best. Amen. Amen. Amen.